But at some point, essentially, like, you have to, like, it takes some sort of risk. You know, it takes some sort of risk and some sort of, like, sacrifice to be able to kind of see that God is trustworthy in the real stuff of life. So I think that's the idea. It's like, it's a good to start there. It's like, hey, like, whatever the good thing is that you're thinking God's inviting you to kind of, like, trust him with, well, can we also trust that if it's, you know, the authentic invitation of God, like, he's not trying to hurt you or harm you. It's like, not for your, it's like, God's not against you. Jesus is not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to fulfill it.
My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. Man, have I got a holy conversation for you today with a CFR, one of those heroes in our Catholic Church today, one of these men who walks the street, taking care of the poorest of the poor, and does a tremendous amount of work praying for our church and for probably each of you listening right now. Father Mark Mary did a great job during this holy conversation of just giving us simple steps to grow closer to the heart of Jesus. He spoke to us a lot about prayer. He spoke to us a ton about fraternity and brotherhood, which I think is what's most attractive probably about the work they're doing outside of their incredible prayer life and their devotion to our church. And then he spoke about trust and really challenged me to look into my day-to-day life, to look at my schedule and make sure that my schedule reflects who I am as a man. So buckle up, enjoy this holy conversation, and be challenged by it. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I just invite you into my day. I invite you, Jesus, into my schedule. I invite you, Jesus, into the lives of everyone who has downloaded this podcast. I pray, God, that we might allow our schedules to reflect our love for you and the fact that we are loved by you. I pray, God, for Father Mark Mary, for the CFRs, and I pray, God, that this holy conversation will lead souls closer to you. I ask all of these prayers through the intercession of Father Emil Capon, through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the Foxhole, Father Mark Mary.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's an honor to have a CFR in the Foxhole with me today. But before we even jump into this incredible life you have and the things you're doing out in the world, I have a feeling that that you were not born, Father Mark Mary, at the beginning. So tell us a little bit about your story leading up to religious life.
Yeah, so I'm from Southern California, from Orange County, California, and I grew up, I kind of jokingly say it, a bit of a country club kid, and, you know, so a very different background than I'm living now, but yeah, great parents, was really an athlete growing up, so my whole childhood was spent on some sort of sports field or court or something like that, and then it was in college, I kind of had my all in for Jesus experience, and through Mother Teresa, I just had this deep desire to give my life to the poorest of the poor, and nothing else would satisfy. And from there, I learned about the sacraments and the kind of the desire to be a priest welled up. And it was at In-N-Out Burger. Do you know In-N-Out Burger? Do you know what
is? Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, they put a little Jesus stuff on their stuff, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It was at In-N-Out Burger. I basically received my vocation. That's where I first learned of the friars, just hanging out with some friends and learned about these group of hardcore, whatever, Franciscans out in New York. And to my 18, 19-year-old sensibilities at the time, it was just what I was looking for. So, yeah, but been out in New York now since 2009. So been out here for a while.
Let's hit. I had two things come up immediately, mm-hmm. Father. Southern California, you a surfer?
No, I just had to. I almost have to apologize every time. It was grass, not sand, was kind of my upbringing. So I never bodyboarded a little bit, but never surfed.
All right. And secondly, sports. You meant I love sports. So just tell me what court, what field were you best at?
Yeah, I think basketball is what I kind of went most full time with. And that was what I was playing year round, traveling, things like that. But I was a late bloomer. So my at a pretty like elite sports high school. So my basketball career got cut pretty short.
No, I love basketball. That's my thing. So, okay. So we got this young guy, this country club guy, didn't surf, but we're going to let that be part of the fun part of the story. You bodyboarding and a basketball star for a bit. Anyway, tell us a little bit about this In-N-Out Burger experience and how that gets the CFRs, and maybe a tad bit about what the CFRs do and who they are.
Sure. Yeah. You know, this is, again, like the soil, my upbringing, my family, all that was really good. And so the soil was good. And just a couple of things had to fall into place for kind of me to be able to receive the fullness of the gospel. And so that was like my first experience in college was basically saying like, hey, I believe and it needs to affect my whole life. And so like the Lord sort of worked very quickly. And as I sort of alluded to in passing, a big key moment in my life was hearing somebody speak of Mother Teresa just sort of in passing. And again, I just felt this like deep desire, to give my life to the poorest of the poor. And so that was kind of like, that was the first moment. That was probably the second moment, I guess, where I became very different from my peers, where all of a sudden I had a very clear awareness of my end and my mission. And it was very different than what my peers were looking into. And then, so it was like, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to give my life to the poor, but I could do that as a layperson. I like the priesthood didn't come until I learned again about the Eucharist and confession. And then, so that's kind of, and this is going to get to the answer of who the friars are. Cause I was looking for a place where I could really serve the poor, like not as like a side little thing, but as kind of pretty much a primary mission, but also be a priest. And so it was at In-N-Out Burger that I heard about these Franciscans. I went home, looked them up that night, read Our Way of Life. And it was just everything I was looking for. You know, we pray. It's a life rooted in prayer. We pray 4 or 5 hours a day. We live amongst and serve the poor in different ways in different countries, all that. There's kind of a life of like we take the poverty aspect of things pretty serious. Some common expressions of that would be like, you know, no TVs, no internet in our friaries. We don't have like personal cell phones, things like that. And the surprise, which I didn't know I was looking for, but was one of the great gifts of it, is we like our brotherhood, our fraternity is probably that which, you know, there's people poorer than us, people who pray more than us. There's just, I don't know that there's many who like value the communal aspect is like more than us. And that's something I think that, again, it wasn't what initially brought me, but it's been one of the great joys of my time as a CFR. Just a super quick background. CFR stands for Franciscan Friars of Renewal. Franciscan community started in 1987. It was kind of like a Capuchin spinoff. We had 8 founders that are all Capuchins. And now there's about 140 of us. We're in 15 friaries, five countries. And, yeah, just still a lot of life. I live in our apostolacy house. So we have 10 new men who are kind of beginning their journey with us. So there's a lot of hope and a lot of grace in this life.
Now that even gets me. So just for the listeners, you'll know their CFRs by their beards. Okay, they always have the coolest beards ever. And they have great habits they wear as well. So you don't question you've met a CFR. Father Mark Mary, I would love it. Why the name Mark Mary? Because I feel like that's the name you chose when you entered. And so I didn't ask you that before we started. So I'm just going to ask you live. Tell me a little bit about why you chose that name and what it means to you. Because there is a change in religious life of who you were and now who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And each brother is going to have their own story. So I'm baptized Mark Daniel. And, you know, it was, we enter postulancy, which is the first kind of phase, like where you're officially part of the community or kind of come and live with us, on September 8th, which is, the Nativity of Mary. And very much, I just felt like there's a number of things that happened to my life where I really felt like Our Lady, particularly Our Lady of Guadalupe, was kind of this constant guide, that she was kind of the instrument that God used to bring me, to this vocation and to Christ and all that. And so it was very much like, hey, I'm just going to give my name, like religious name, to Our Lady. But I was definitely like hoping for like Agathangelus or whatever, like Athanasius, you know, something kind of wild, that my mom would probably hate, you know? But, but it was on September 12th, so only 4 days after I entered, where the priest during mass, he gave this homily about this blessed Mark of Aviano, who sort of like led these kind of like was there with kind of these soldiers and just encouraging them with the holy name of Mary and Jesus. And it, like, in my heart, I was like, dang, I think that's it. And a couple of guys kind of confirmed it. And so so I was looking at Blessed Mark. So like not changing name, but changing patrons. I wanted Mary in there because of the role that she had played. And the idea is like, now this is like Mary's mark. Like that was kind of the old mark. And this is kind of Mary's mark. And actually, so my full religion name is Mark Mary, like Mark hyphen Mary, Maximilian Kolbe. And the final confirmation is these were all the names that were kind of on my radar. And during Christmas of the first year, you get to go home. And so I looked them up. I looked up Mark of Aviano, Maximilian Kolbe. And I found out that the feast days, like Mark's feast day, Blessed Mark's feast day is August 13th, Maximilian Kolbe, August 14th. And then Our Lady of the Assumption is August 15th. And so that was kind of like, they were all lined up like that. It was kind of the final confirmation that this was the name that God had chosen for me.
Well, I know in missions, when it's your feast day, you got to have a feast on that day. So that's like the trinity of feasts for you. You get three days of celebration, right?
Yeah, I get my own little triduum, exactly.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about a daily life, because I know people hear about CFRs and religious life. What is an average? I know there's probably no normal day, but what's the average outline and structure around your normal life?
Sure. And I can use our postulancy house as like a good example, I think, because it's kind of like a little bit more controlled and standard. So our first prayers are, you know, we're going to pray together the office of reading, or we're going to pray together the liturgy of the hours, the breviary, five times a day. We get together in the chapel. The first is at 6 a.m. And so we get together, all the brothers are there, 6 a.m. We pray office of readings together. And then we have about an hour plus of private meditation. And that's like kind of time for Lectio Divina. And that would go until about 7:30, which is when we get back together in the chapel for morning prayer. That's immediately followed by mass. And that'll go until about whatever it is, about 8:30 plus. So sort of the first 2.5 hours of the day are anchored and rooted and kind of protected for prayer. And then we're going to go about our day. And that's going to look different for the different guys, different responsibilities. In like our formation house, you know, Monday is very much kind of like a normal Monday. It's like meetings, chores, getting caught up, some kind of the basic tasks you need to do. Tuesday through Thursday, we run basically in normal times, like we run kind of like a soup kitchen, or we do what we call like maybe like Jesus runs, where we take a bag of stuff out to folks on the street and pray with them. And then, so that'd be like kind of Tuesday through Thursday's that. And then Friday, we always have a prayer day, which is a day kind of especially protected for prayer. But so what you're going to do is we're going to pray till 8:30. You're going to have breakfast, do your work until about midday, have midday prayer, some lunch, afternoon, kind of back to work, whatever that is. And then we meet together for evening prayer, for Eucharistic Holy Hour, beginning with evening prayer from 5 to 6, 6 to 7. We're all together for dinner, then a little evening session, whatever you need to do. And then 9 o'clock, night prayer and rosary. And so that's kind of that's the flow. Like dinner, each of the guys takes a different turn cooking about once a week. Dinner is talking, like a lot of monasteries or something like that would have a reading where it's quiet. But this is kind of like our time, like our fraternal time. This is our time to be together. So everyone's expected to be there, and it's always that hour long. And it's just that's kind of a time for us to have family dinner every night.
So this time on the streets, Father Mark Mary, if I understand it, it's not in a soup kitchen per se. You've just taken food out to folks and finding folks that are hurting.
Yeah. And we've done this. It's kind of taken different forms throughout the years. It became a regular thing at my current friary because of COVID, because we could no longer kind of have everybody together for one big meal in our friary. And so now we go and meet folks on the street, which I think is providential, and I anticipate we'll be able to keep doing that, because now you know, we're going to meet the folks who are kind of like still very much in the throes of the addiction and on the streets and under the bridge, and it gives us the capacity to go to them and meet them where they're at, and you know, pray with them, spend some time with them, and so that's that's been a real gift, and it's really a beautiful thing to, as far as forming the young men and how to encounter and love the addict, the prostitute, all that, who are just very much still on the street. I think it's a beautiful experience for them to encounter the poor kind of in their lowest.
So for a lot of folks that listen, I mean, I would say for me, encountering someone on the street is a pretty tough experience, especially when in the past year we've all been behind masks. So how do you form men, I mean, particularly in your place, men, to go out and to do this from a space of openness rather than a space of protection? Or even sometimes you'll see people doing things for people and it's almost like, I'm doing this for you, you better clap for me or tell me. How do you do it from a place of humility as well? Like, what's been the source of that?
Yeah. You know, so kind of part one, just strategy one is, you know, you're always going out with a what we call a professed brother, a brother who's in vows, a brother who's been around a little bit. And so we kind of break up into small teams, and very much at the outset, you know, it's like the professed brother kind of takes the lead, and they're kind of keeping their eyes on him, doing as instructed. And some guys, a lot of these guys have actually been with us in a missionary program we run in our shelter. So for a lot of them, it's not the very first experience, but it's very much kind of like a mentoring type thing. And then there's space for processing, you know? And so it's like, okay, like, what do I do with this now, basically? Cause I just encountered this person in this deep place of suffering with a problem that I can't solve. What do I do, you know? And so there's that space for processing it. You know, for the most part, the fear, I think you get over somewhat quickly if there's any, you know. And again, like, we're basically young men doing it together as men, which takes away some of the danger, some of the fear. But it's mostly, you get past some of the discomfort, you learn how to engage people, you learn how to be kind of rejected and to get through that. So that's all part of it. And then there's just nothing. No one's watching you. Nobody's there applauding you for the most, like, a lot of it's pretty hard stuff. So it's like, as far as like the humility thing, you get rejected or whatever, cussed out a couple times. And I think any temptation towards pride in it is probably going to go away pretty quickly. The fact that we're doing it together as brothers takes away any sense that it's like you're doing something special. So those are some of the factors.
So you've mentioned prayer several times, and I think you've mentioned a lot about community and brotherhood. And I have a son named Maximilian, so I'm a big fan, and he's attracted to brotherhood. Like, he sees that as important, the fraternity. So talk to us, our listeners, Father, or most of them are not in religious life. So how do we as men cultivate healthy prayer lives? And then how do we as men cultivate healthy fraternity and brotherhood?
Yeah. So for me, like, a really big kind of underlying theme is basically intentionality. Like, you gotta want it, but you also have to have like somewhat of a strategy that meets your sincerity. Like, you gotta have a plan, right? And so certainly for prayer, step one is basically scheduling it in, you know. And you know, I have a buddy of mine who just kind of we grew up together, and he kind of just became kind of like a hotshot businessman. And part of his kind of development and going along is kind of getting burnt out, and he just kind of had this moment where he's like, you know what? Like, I want my schedule to reflect my values, and I'm a man of faith. I'm a Catholic man. And so I'm going to schedule like 30 minutes of prayer, like every morning at the beginning of my day. And that's going to be something that's like sacred and protected. And it wasn't like he was already praying. It was just like, you know what? Here's something I believe, and I want like my life and my schedule to reflect that. So he made that time, and now he's like super faithful to it, to the point where, you know, if he misses it, he can tell he's off, right? And so it's like he just really kind of values that time. So probably step one is prayer, or is a plan and a schedule. And then for the fraternity thing, you know, I think it's, I don't know, it is, I think, a guy thing to like to do things like with brothers, you know, that team mentality. And right, like for us, it doesn't have to be, you don't want to reduce sort of like community or something like that, just to like sitting around and chatting and sharing what's going on. Like, that's important. That's part of it. But being part of some sort of group, even if it's, you know, as coaches, if you work together in like the shop, like whatever you're interested in, if you can find some guys who are into it, who also have that faith dimension and can work that into it, I think that's really important. You know, life's hard and the world's kind of crazy, and we're just, like you're not meant to do this alone. You know, the kind of the sheep who's kind of out on his own is the one who gets picked off. And so I can't over, I just think that the fraternity and the brotherhood and the community aspect are pretty important and essential and worth, again, like intentionally pursuing.
So if you're listening to the podcast right now, I would tell you, hit pause, get your daily planner out, and just ask yourself the question Father Mark Mary just said: does your schedule reflect your values? Like, that's important. As he was talking, I was going through my day-to-day thinking, ooh, I probably need to be more intentional about the things I do. And the brotherhood piece, I think, is super important in the world today, because I think the way men are picked off is we're isolated. You know, most of our lives are alone, listening to a podcast. It's not even, maybe even that person, and you don't connect with anybody. So the third piece, I think, is interesting. The life you've chosen to live, Father Mark, Mary, is the issue of trust. I mean, I know that when you live poverty, but all of us, to some extent, have to give up some control and let go. Do you mind speaking in a little bit to that in your life, and then maybe even for someone who's not in religious life, how they would live further into just fully trusting God?
Yeah, you know, the catechism, the beginning of the catechism, it says that, like, after the fall, all subsequent sin is a result of disobedience and a lack of trust in God's goodness. Like, in other words, like trust is the name of the game. Like, trust is that core sort of issue, wound, struggle, across the board. And so I think it's great to recognize that, first of all, it's going to be a pretty universal, common human experience or trial, but also it's kind of the trial that's worth our time and attention. And how we allow the Lord kind of to heal that trust wound and to reveal himself as, like, basically who he says he is and who we profess him to be. It is the fruit of, like, our whole Christian journey. But at some point, essentially, like, you have to, like, it takes some sort of risk, you know, it takes some sort of risk and some sort of, like, sacrifice to be able to kind of see that God is trustworthy in the real stuff of life. And, but it can begin small. You know, I think, you know, like, in my own sort of discernment with my vocation, which I think is part of this, is like, all right, Lord, like, I feel this call and I want to see if I can, you know, work with the poor. So I'm going to go and, you know, volunteer at a homeless shelter. I'm going to go do something for 2 weeks. I'm going to go do a trip for 3 weeks. I'm going to go do sort of a missionary thing for a whole year. I'm going to move to New York, give it a shot. And, like, oh, slowly but surely, it's like, oh, you know what? Like, yeah, this God's in this, and God's good, and I'm happy in this, and I'm alive in this, and all that. And so, for most folks, it's like, okay, what's a thing that you're struggling with? What's one thing that maybe, what's one maybe crutch, one maybe source of security that, like, the Lord might be inviting you to trust him with? And can we talk about, like, making that first step of trust, right? You know, and so that can be a little bit of a component of, like, finances. That can be a little bit of a component with, like, some sort of relationship. It can be a little component of, like, vulnerability. It can be a component of, like, okay, I'm gonna make 15 minutes of prayer each day, and I'm gonna trust that that's just, like, the best use of my time. You know, those are just kind of, like, making little steps of trust ends up kind of, that's how we make the whole journey of trust.
So if we're using, I love that you speak in threes. You know, good stand-up comedians always have threes. Everything goes in threes. So we've got Father Mark, Mary, Maximilian, and now we have our three steps here. So if a guy's listening right now, Father Mark, Mary, and I'm sure there is one, at least that's thinking through this and going, okay, I'm trying to do this in my daily life. I'm going to try to trust more, offer my finances up to God, build more fraternity, you know, do more with prayer. How do they do this? One of the things the CFRs that I've seen have, and I see it in you, and we mentioned Father Emmanuel, how do you do it without feeling overwhelmed by just that process? Because it's exhausting. And I see the CFRs do it with smiles on their faces, emanating joy. So talk to us a little bit about that, because I think that's the last ingredient, I think, is to do it with a smile on your face, and not a fake smile, but a real smile. How do you guys live into those? Because you live an austere, hard life. But somehow every CFR I've ever met somehow radiates joy.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I'll kind of speak to that part and then kind of go back to the how is the underlying sort of hypothesis, or I'll kind of again use my own life, is when I was discerning, this one gospel passage popped, and it's Matthew 19:29 and following, which basically it's after there's this conversation, like there's this rich young man, there's a conversation about like it's really rich for the like for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven, and St. Peter's like, well, like what about us who have left everything and followed you? And Jesus says, like, whoever's left lands or brothers or sisters or mothers for my sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life, which is basically God saying, like, whatever good thing that you're giving up or you're sacrificing, you're trusting me with, like, I'm gonna give you 100 times the good. Like, I'm not gonna be outdone in generosity. And so that's the trick with, I think, Franciscan life is we're not giving God any more than he's giving us, but it's the opposite. And the fruit of that is joy and freedom and peace and all that sort of stuff. And so that's the thing. Like, you can look at the Franciscan life, be like, well, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this, but you have joy. Like, so like, what's the disconnect? It's like, well, the disconnect, what makes this make sense is God. And that the sacrifices, what we've entrusted it with him, have all been repaid in some sense, 100-fold. So I think that's the idea. It's like, it's a good to start there. It's like, hey, like, whatever the good thing is that you're thinking God's inviting you to kind of like trust him with, well, can we also trust that if it's, you know, the authentic invitation of God, like he's not trying to hurt you or harm you. It's like not for your, it's like God's not against you. Jesus is not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to fulfill it. And so that would kind of be, I think, the promise to hold on to. And then like, we can sort of go about like the spiritual life, like sometimes happens to me on like Monday morning. Like it's Monday morning, I have a first meeting, I like get my whole schedule done, and it's like, okay, like I feel the weight of the next 5 days, like in one moment, because I like have the whole, you know what I mean? It's like, I can, as you look ahead, you can sort of feel the whole burden that's laying before you. And we can get in trouble if we do that with like our own sort of relationship with Jesus. It's like, okay, well, yeah, he's asking me for 15 minutes of prayer, and now it's like we're gonna start thinking about like, and he wants me to be like, he wants me to like, now I'm supposed to, I don't know, you just can kind of like get ahead of yourself. Well, this, like, hold on, like, let's just like take a moment, take a breath, let's just do step one today and let step one be sufficient for today, and when step two comes, like, okay, we'll make step two.
So tell me, Father Mark Mary, when you want to quit, and I know that, and I don't mean quit the order, I just mean when you're just ready to give up. What keeps you moving? Like, what gets you out of the bed? What makes your feet hit the floor when you're sick? And I mean, is it, everybody can do the Jesus stuff when we're at a retreat or everybody's fired up. But most people, we come off the rails when it gets stressful and we're tired and the finances are not right. Talk to me a little bit about you, and then maybe translate that into the ordinary guy on the street, you know, how to help him get through these moments where he wants to quit.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that there's one exclusive answer. I do think the brotherhood, the fraternity is a huge part of it. And again, a huge reason why I think it's so important is like when we're just in it together, it really helps us go further than we'd go on our own. this is like super random, but about a couple of months ago, I did my very first, I used my buddy's Peloton. I was staying at a friend's house, which is like that, you know, fancy exercise bike. And there's a part in it where like the instructor's like pushing you and like, okay, you're going to want to quit, but we're not going to quit. And it's like, because that person was in there like coaching me or whatever, like I was like, oh dang, I just went a lot harder than I ever would have done by myself. And that is something, that is part of why it's good to have other people in our lives to like to help stretch us and keep pushing us. So that's definitely a thing. And then you know what, there is a grace of commitment, you know what I mean? Like I've said yes to the Lord, and I've given him my whole life, and so like there's just, I can either neglect my vows and leave, which I just have no desire for. I can live like a miserable sort of like half-hearted kind of like just trying to get by way of life, which just doesn't resonate with any of my actual deepest desires. Or I can kind of keep trying, you know, keep getting in there and keep trying to make the next best step. And I think that's really, at the end of the day, it's like, I came here to give Jesus everything. Like that's my deepest desire, and just kind of tapping into like my deepest desires, even though my current desire might be to kind of to get lazy or to give up, I think has served me well.
Yeah, it reminds me, my wife lives by this next right step thing. She's like, just take the next step. It's not about, you know, doing it all at once, one step at a time. And Father, the next right step for us is for you to pray us off this podcast. I want you, the CFRs, your brotherhood, the folks where you're serving, to know that we are praying for you at Capons Men. We will keep your day-to-day life in our prayers. And we just ask you guys to pray for us. And today, I just invite you to pray us off the podcast.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. We trust you. We thank you for the grace of knowing you. We thank you for the grace of the revelation that has been brought to us by your Son. And we thank you, Lord, for this, the desires that you have for us to live out the fullness of our vocations as sons, as husbands, as fathers, as disciples. And we pray, Lord, that you may fill us again with this grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may have magnanimous hearts, hearts that desire to give all that we have for those you have entrusted to us and ultimately for you. We pray, Lord, that you may give us the grace to make the next best step, and that today may be sufficient in itself, that we can entrust to you the next step and the next year and the next day, all to your providence. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We trust you. We need you. We ask for you to guide us in the spirit of prayer and of holy fraternity, and through the prayers of all the angels and the saints, especially the seraphic saints, Saint Francis, Saint Clare, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, may Almighty God bless you and all of our listeners in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Trust, prayer, fraternity, and joy. Father Mark Mary, you got to the heart of all these things today in the Foxhole, and I think there's something in there for all of us guys listening. Now, what's really speaking to me this week is your witness of joyful trust and my need to embrace that. Not just begrudging or white-knuckled trust, but joyful trust. And that's something that Father Capon lived too. He wasn't going around in the prison camp saying, well, I don't have any other options, so I guess I'll trust. He had made a vow to God when he was ordained that he would spend himself cheerfully, no matter how hard the circumstances. And that's what he did, by God's grace, of course. The challenge this week is to meditate on the passage that you mentioned, Matthew 19:29 and the following, where Peter asks, "What about us who have left everything to follow you?" And really dwell on Jesus' response, and let that motivate us as we go through our week. Thanks to everyone for joining us in the Foxhole, and may Father Capon pray for us that we too may be a joyful witness of trust this week.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.